Welcome to Stories of COVID, the interview project that explores what it's like to experience a global pandemic.
I never thought I would see this in my lifetime.
It is scary and it's very real, but it's not hopeless.
As I said, I changed 3 planes. None of them were wearing any gloves or masks.
I've never seen so much support for freelancers or artists in the media as I have now.
They both laid me off from just the advent of the outbreak.
I'm anthropologist and author Veronica Curran, and I am building an interview archive of stories and anecdotes that define this time in history to write a book preserving this experience for future generations. If you'd like to help preserve this moment in history for future generations, check out the show notes to sign up for an interview. Michelle lives in Portland, Oregon, one of the epicenters for the political and social unrest that was experienced during 2020. In her interview, she reflects on that unrest and reflects on the opportunities that she had because of the pause caused by the pandemic to reevaluate her life and to make choices about who she wants to be moving forward.
I think I first heard about it probably on the news when it was just breaking out in China. I want to say it was January of 2020. It might have been December. It seems more likely that it was January because I remember traveling in February thinking, this could be a thing. Is this a good idea? I would say my perspective on the virus has changed from that like complete unknown, you know, massive anxiety around like, are we all gonna die? Is this the zombie apocalypse? To, okay, maybe most of us aren't gonna die. We know more about the virus, but there's still unknown factors. So there's still definitely some anxiety around it because, you know, there's been a lot of false senses of security. I guess my answer is that there's been varying levels of anxiety, you know, from the not knowing to the having that better understanding, but still a sense of like the bottom can still drop out. Because as soon as you feel like things are starting to shift into a more positive direction, a new variant comes out or it's become massively politicized and that's been incredibly divisive. And it's like that around different places in the country, at least in the US, but in Portland, I feel like that's been especially prominent. So yeah, so I mean, just various degrees of insecurity or anxiety and uncertainty. We still have a mask mandate, an indoor mask mandate. Mostly, I think it's the whole West Coast. Apparently we're the last in the country. The pandemic is over everywhere else. Our mask mandate, I think Washington, Oregon, and California are kind of doing this synchronously. The mandate is supposed to be lifted this month. I can't remember the date. I mean, within the next few days or week or so, they're going to lift the mandate. So I have mixed feelings around that. On one hand, I feel like the numbers in Oregon, for example, or really on the West Coast, the numbers are no better here than they are anywhere else in the country. So I'm like, I don't really know if there's any point in continuing to wear a mask. But then there's the other side of me that's like, look, if I get it, I'll probably be okay, but I don't want to give it to somebody who's immune compromised. And so there's a sense of social responsibility. But then there's the COVID fatigue that's super, super real. And I am just sick of living in this pandemic and just the constant that dark cloud. So there's a lot of complex feelings around it, I think. While I work from home now, I've been home for 2 years. Honestly, like it's affected my life massively. I mean, it's been a complete and total shift in my life. And from the initial start of the pandemic, when everything went on lockdown and we were sent home from work, all of the white noise of the world shut down and you only had what was in front of you in your immediate circumference of your world, right? And which was by and large just home or, you know, kind of groceries. But even then, in the very beginning, because we didn't know what we didn't know, everybody was paranoid and freaked out about grocery shopping or just going out in public and all that stuff. With the silencing of what I call the white noise of the rest of the world around us, all that was left is to focus on what's in your immediate periphery. And that was a significant wake up call and shift for me. I knew that I wasn't really happy in my life anyway. And I was kind of like leading up to making some changes that I was in a long-term relationship that wasn't working and had kind of already decided I was going to end the relationship. And then the pandemic hit and I was like, oh shit. Well, now I know I need to end this relationship, but I can't end this relationship in a pandemic because that's just fucking rude. And, you know, and trying to be conscientious and thoughtful of what that looks like and what the fallout of that looks like, and thought like, well, I'll just wait till this is over. I did not wait until it was over because here we are still. But eventually I ended my relationship. I bought my house that I've been living in and renting for 9 years. I just changed everything in my life, everything. I made a new commitment to living how I want to live. If anything came from this for myself, in terms of how it shifted my perspective, it made me realize that anything can happen. And I just really want to live my life for myself and the way that I want to, like, in what feels good and feels right to me and feels healthy to myself. And I want to be that person outwardly to others as well. And I wasn't being my best self in that relationship. The relationship wasn't best for me, all of those things. And it helped me to really realign those priorities. Oh, well, it's kept me employed. Or re-employed, I should say. I did lose my job because of the pandemic. Got a new job. I started the job fully remote. It's a Portland-based company, but we're still fully remote. And technology has been crucial in that. I mean, there's no way that would have happened without it. I mean, the nature of what I do is contingent on technology anyway. I mean, I'm a digital designer. It's also been really nice in that it's exposed me to a lot of different people through starting this job that I wouldn't necessarily have. So we've been able to open up the talent pool nationally instead of just keeping it to the Portland area. We have a far, far, far more diverse, you know, range of candidates and employees. And it's been a really positive shift in that regard. Dating's been real interesting. I did spend the last year and a half just kind of working on myself, and through that has been, I've been in therapy for years anyway, but once the lockdown happened, therapy went to, you know, to video and stuff, using telehealth, which has been, you know, was definitely a huge adjustment at first, but I got used to it and kept, you know, I stuck with it. It's been great. And then moving into earlier this year, decided, okay, I think I'm ready to start being open to meeting people, and have relied on technology for that, both just because of stupid apps, because how do you meet people? Plus, how do you meet people in a pandemic? Plus, I'm not really down to just go out, you know, like in the before times. Technology's played an important part of that, and just like talking to people and trying to get a sense of like, is this somebody that I do want to hang out with or meet in person? And is there enough of a connection? So it's been sort of like a filtering mechanism. Didn't get emotional, sorry. Just brings up old stuff, you know? I remember in late May or early June, after George Floyd's murder, sitting on the couch, feeling, I don't even know how to describe how I was feeling. I mean, I was horrified and sad and confused and anxious between, you know, I feel like the pandemic, the start of the pandemic, I had a very strong sense of we're in a pressure cooker and something's going to blow. And it, I thought about, like, you know, learning about, you know, heat waves in the 60s that led to riots and things like that. And I remember thinking, this, we're there, something is going to happen. There's going to be a massive shift. Something is happening and something's going to blow. And then the George Floyd murder happened. And I was like, this is it. This is the beginning of that. And especially, I mean, I know everybody saw Portland on the news and shit, you know? And I remember sitting on the couch trying to process and experience all of these emotions and saying to my partner at the time, I'm really depressed and I'm really struggling. Like, I'm really having a hard time with this. And she said, yeah, we all are. And, you know, we just have to deal with it. And that, and just basically shut me down. And that was that, that was the moment in this whole thing. That was the moment that I was like, this is that, this is it. Like, this shit is over. This is not going to happen. This is not going to work out. I'm ending this. I'm on my own. I have to put myself back together, and I have to figure out what that looks like, and figure out what my needs are and how to ask for them and get rid of the things in my life that don't meet that. And who am I, and what do I stand for, and what do I stand for socially, and what does this mean to me, and how do I respond? What is my social responsibility? What is my moral obligation to myself and to society to respond to this pandemic, to this murder, to what's happening, you know, 3 miles from my house where riots are starting? And, you know, what part do I play in the world that's changing around me? And who do I want to show up as, really? That moment sitting on the couch was that, it was that. That was the catalyst to everything else. Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. That was a hard ass moment, but it was a necessary one, and I wouldn't take it back or change it. I want to say I'm a different person than I was then, but I'm not. I'm actually far more myself now than I was then. And I'm showing up less afraid of being my authentic self and less afraid of sharing these vulnerable moments, even though it is super fucking scary, but more willing to do that. My process and my life from that moment has been about very strongly about pushing myself out of my comfort zone, which has meant everything from what part do I play in the social justice movement, and how do I get a better understanding of my responsibility as, you know, a cisgendered white woman, you know, in a predominantly white city, and what part do I play in that, and how can I make a good contribution to society and have a better understanding and a better sense of empathy, asking hard questions that I'm really uncomfortable with, you know, because I don't want to look stupid, and not being afraid to look stupid, because I'd rather look stupid and learn than look stupid and not ever learn the difference. And also just with how I show up for as myself and the things that I'm doing for myself. Like I said, I just got back from like working out. Like, I've prioritized my well-being and my physical and mental health, and I'm going to kickboxing 4 times a week, and I'm, you know, I'm making all these changes and doing all this stuff, and I'm doing incredibly well at my new job, and I'm like showing up as myself has been working out really well. And it's super scary, but I'm proud of myself for doing it and for pushing myself out of my comfort zone. I've been put in this leadership position at work where it's challenging me in very new ways to be leading people, and being able to bring this aspect of myself to that is both what's gotten me there, but is also where I see my leadership being effective and impacting other people, not just from a work, you know, production standpoint, but in how they show up. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm doing that. Like, I'm like affecting these people and impacting these people's lives. And some of these people are half my age, you know, and some of them are not, but it's just like having that approach and attitude begets more of it. And it just needs to keep going, you know? And so I'm happy to be able to be making a contribution in that way.
Thank you for listening. Subscribe so that you don't miss an interview. I interview multiple people a week, and I am releasing these episodes as fast as I can. And if the story meant something to you, share it, because it will probably mean something to someone else. Every time you share the project, it helps the project grow. So thank you. Until next time, stay safe, stay well.